Good afternoon, everybody out there listening to my show. This is the Reverend Blake. We'll be welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. Whether you're around the world somewhere or maybe up in outer space, an ET that belongs to the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, welcome to my show. Everyone's welcome. All ETs, you know, in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, did you know there are about 28,000 extraterrestrials in the Milky Way galaxy and other galaxies around there? Yeah, I don't know all of them. There's the Andromeda Galaxy, there's P51, there's a large Magellanic Cloud Galaxy, the large and the small Magellanic Cloud Galaxy. There's quite a few galaxies out there, right? All right, thank you. Hey, everybody, I'm back. What happened was I called BBS Radio just before 6, and I was getting these wrong numbers, and so I was talking with Dawn, and he gave me the number to call, a new number, and I didn't hang up with him, but I called the other number. So I had two numbers on at one time, and then after a couple of minutes, the old number, the other number, some music started to play. I don't know if you could hear it or not. But anyway, back to what I was saying, my friends out there in internet radio land, around the world, whether you're in Russia or China, South America, Africa, Australia, in England, or in New Zealand, or in Hawaii. Hey, we're going on a cruise to Hawaii, thank you God, on Monday. It's a 15-day cruise aboard the Carnival Miracle out of San Francisco. So we're flying to San Francisco tomorrow. Going to spend the night there. And you know why we're doing it that way? Because before in the past, we would fly the same day as the cruise. And didn't have any problems, you know, all these cruises we did before in the past. But the last time we took a cruise in June to Orlando to catch the cruise out of Cape Canaveral, we got delayed in Atlanta. And by the time we got to the Carnival Transportation Desk in Orlando, it was dark. They'd already gone. There was an emergency number to call. A phone there, I called. They said, "You just missed the last bus 5 minutes ago." So, it was like 2 o'clock already, you know, and the boat leaves at 4. So we ran outside. There was a taxi there, took the taxi, heading down the road. Got a call from Carnival. "Where are you? We're on our way. We got to be here by 2:30. It was 2:15. We still had about 20 miles to go. And, oh, my God, please don't leave without us. We'll be there. We got there. Actually, it was plenty of time. We got there about maybe 2:45, and all the bags had been taken aboard the boat, so we had to carry our own bags on board, and we got through the security checkpoint, and there were some people standing around. They said, "Wow, we just made it," and there's the boat, looking at the boat, and the guy said, "Well, the boat leaves at 4, you know what I'm talking about? You still have time," but that's not what we were told on the way there. But I understand, you know, they want everyone there as soon as possible. We made it just barely in time. So we said, next time we take a cruise, we're going to fly in the night before, then the night, then the next day. We won't have to worry about a flight being delayed or canceled. And so that's what we're doing this time. We're going to spend the night at a hotel in Union Square. We're going to wake up in the morning and get into San Francisco like around 9:33, I think. We'll take a cab to the hotel. I don't know if the room's going to be ready, but we'll put our baggage in storage and maybe go get some lunch. And then the room should be ready. We'll go back to the room, probably take a nap, get up, go get some dinner, go to bed, wake up in the morning. Monday morning, they've got transportation arranged for us. Because this is what they call an elite cruise, my friends. But Carnival, you know, we've been cruising with Carnival for many years now. I'm actually diamond status, which means I've got over 200 days of cruising with Carnival. Just think about it. 6 months is 180 days. So I've got about 7 months. If you count all the days together, I mean, just imagine cruising for 7 months solid. That's what I've been doing since 2003. I've got about 215 days altogether. So this 15 days where I'd make it about 230. My wife, Jackie, she is platinum still, so she's got about maybe 40 more days to go. should be getting close to diamond. There's no real difference as far as perks are concerned. Maybe just a couple of things. You can get a free upgrade from a balcony room to a suite. And we've done that already one time. Actually, we used our upgrade to, I think I did already. My son, Bryce, who lives in Burbank, California, is going to be cruising with us next May. I booked the cruise already to Alaska. We had a cruise back in April together out of Long Beach on the Carnival Panorama. It was a very nice cruise. 7 days down to Puerto Vallarta, Mazatlan, Cabo San Lucas. And that was Bryce's first cruise, and he was so impressed. He had a good time. So I said, how would you like to go to Alaska? He said, I'd love to go to Alaska. I said, okay, well, I'm going to book it. So I did. And I got him his own room, and I thought, it was $3,000. You know, it's just a little bit more than what we usually pay for. So I called Carnival, and I said, what? And Jackie had the idea. What if he spends the week in our room? It's going to be maybe a little inconvenient, you know, but we saved $3,000, and he's going to spend the week in the room with us. So we'll work it out and hopefully have a good time. We've been to Alaska twice before, in July of 22 and June of 23. Anyway, this is a 15-day cruise, this one coming up to Maui, to Oahu, to Kauai, and Kona. 4 days to get there, 4 days cruising around the islands, and 4 days back to Ensenada, Mexico, and then 1 day back to San Francisco. So we get back in town on Tuesday, the 1st of October. And I'm going to, once my show is done, I think I've already told Doug and Don that for the next 2 weeks, they'll be playing a rerun of my show. Or maybe some music. I think some music might. That's up to them if they want to. They have some pretty cool music, so maybe whatever they want to do, I'll leave it up to them. And so then I'll be back on the 5th of October with my next show. My friends, if you want, I talked about this on the last radio show, which wasn't last week, if I'm not mistaken. I skipped the last week and I was on the week before, and on that show, I was telling you about this one YouTube video. Now, if you really want to learn something cool about spirituality, because that's why we're here, to develop ourselves spiritually, we are spirit in the material world, our spirits. That song by the Police, you know that they were right. They were so far ahead of their time, my friends. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Be brave. There's 40,000 people a day dying around the world. We can be brave. Don't consider it taboo or some esoteric subject you can't talk about. Developing yourself spiritually and evolving is what I call go for it. It's available for you to do. You can talk about anything. Don't let anything hold you back. The sky's the limit as far as what you can talk about, because people are dying. And people need to know the truth around the world, you know. So Dr. Mary Helen Hensley from the Anthony Chain, C-H-E-N-E, Productions. She relates a near-death experience that she had. I'm listening to near-death experiences all the time because they're a great source of information as far as developing yourself spiritually. You get what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? So she is so cool. She was like a psychic medium, mystic. When she was very young, she could talk to the dead. Oh, don't be frightened. So anyway, there's a lot of people like that, believe me, around the world. Psychic mediums, people that can talk to the dead, people that have visions, you know. And so anyway, later on in her life when she was going to college, she was involved in a car accident, and this guy T-boned her at like going 60, 70 miles an hour. And she said something that's very interesting, which I already knew about, but let me tell you. did you know that if you're in a situation where you see this car coming towards you, barreling towards you, and you think to yourself, as a matter of fact, Lee, oh, gee, I'm going to die. And, or you could be in an airplane or, you know, maybe you might be eaten by a lion or crocodile or whatever the situation be might be, you know, drowning, whatever. Oh, I'm going to die. But that's what she thought. And then she realized she had two options. She could stay in the body, feel the pain, die, and then pop out of the body. Or she could pop out of the body, watch yourself dying from a perspective of standing near or above and watching it, and then be dead. So she chose option B. And she saw from a distance, as she popped out of her body, the car slam into her car. She saw her head go through the window, the side window, her neck break, and car screeching to a halt. And there was a car about three or four cars back. And she saw this from outside her body that belonged to a roommate that she had in a previous year in college. And she felt, she said, she felt the terror and the emotion in this woman as she realized that was her friend's car and that she was probably dead. As she got out, walked around, and then she said she saw a policeman reach into the passenger side and turn the ignition key off. And then there was a woman, this is kind of funny, who came around and on a piece of paper wrote down her name and number and left it on the passenger seat while she was lying there dead. She thought that was kind of strange, but anyway. So she was taken to the hospital and an ambulance, which arrived shortly thereafter. And afterwards, after she recovered, she talked with the EMT, and she related everything that I just mentioned that she saw, because when he got there to the car, they got her out of the car, and well, maybe it was the policeman. I forget, one or the other. She related everything that she'd seen, how the maybe it was the policeman who came and visited her in the hospital, how he turned the ignition off, how there was a woman that put a note on the passenger seat. And he's like looking at her and going, there's no way you could know that. You were dead. And she said, it's true. I was looking at all of that. And then she also related about the college roommate that was a few cars down and some other stuff too that she saw that was spot on that she couldn't have known because she was lying there dead, you know. But she did recover, which is pretty common for people that have near-death experiences. They come back to life. They find out it's usually it's not their turn to die, not their time. And it's a video on YouTube where you can learn so much information that's really, besides what I just told you, really incredible stuff that will, if you're interested in really increasing your knowledge, it will help. Not to mention all the other videos from Anthony Chain, and there's one that's called Coming Home, and three or four other really well-known videos. And hold on just a second, I'm going to take a drink. And she went on to say that, which I already knew, that we are born into this world through a veil of forgetfulness. because this is a very special learning environment. It's like a school in the University of the Universe where we have all these situations that we deal with in our lifetimes. A lot of it is predecided, predetermined. We are given missions to perform when we come here. A lot of the people we meet are all souls that we've made pacts and agreements before in our pre-existence, before we were born into this world. I know you can't remember. I can't remember either being born. And so we have soul friends. Your mother or your father might be a soul friend, or your son might be a soul friend, or your daughter in your soul family. So there's that veil of forgetfulness that we are born through, because we're made to forget because this planet is a very special planet on a category, on a scale of 1 to 9, a category 1 planet, which means that it's the lowest on the evolutionary scale, and there's a lot of war and killing, right, throughout our past, over the centuries, right? And even today, wars are still going on. But that's the nature of this environment that we're in, this atmosphere. In case you didn't know it, hello, surprise, we're living in a planet where we're not at the top of the food chain. Animals eat each other, okay? That's all right. We are meant to learn to love each other. Love. Love is key. Any way you look at it, love is the answer, my friends. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love is all you need. Love is all you need. And you might not find love. Can you build your love? Yes, you can. Over a lifetime? Because you never know. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. And you've heard that before so many times, I'm sure. But, and it's a really cool environment here. You know, this is a working planet. It's a very, as I mentioned, a very special environment. We got half a day of light, half a day of darkness, the bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night, like What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. So isn't it amazing the power that makes that happen? The power that revolves the Earth around the sun, and the power that rotates the Earth on its axis so we have half a day of light and half a day of darkness. No man-made power, right? It's a power that is absolutely, incredibly amazing and strong. And I mean, I could use the word power again. It's so powerful, it's hard to comprehend. And that's just our planet, not to mention all the other planets in our solar system. But what about the other solar systems in the Milky Way galaxy and the power that revolves their planets around their sun and rotates them on their axes and revolves the Milky Way galaxy around the center of the galaxy? What about that power? My friends, we're in a patch of space right now, going through a patch of space, revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, not where we were yesterday. Yesterday, we were in like another, it's like a cruise ship. You know, you look out the back of a cruise ship, you see that wake as the ship plows through the water, and you see where we were, you know, that wake disappearing in the distance as far as the eye could see. That's kind of like, hey, you know, 10 miles ago, we were over there, but now we're here. That's like our planet going through the Milky Way galaxy, our solar system, and our solar system around the galaxy. Pretty amazing. And all of that power, all that might held into existence thanks to the creator of the universe. Make no mistake about it, my friends, the creator of the universe is so powerful that we just can't comprehend just how powerful the creator is. The creator is a spirit, too. and omniscient too. Imagine, like Donna Rebadeau, check that name, R-E-B-A-D-O-W, she drowned, okay? People drown, my friends. Believe it. They drown, and they come back to life like she did. And take a drink. She came face to face with the creator of the universe. That's the first time where I've seen in the near-death experience on YouTube, a video, where somebody has actually met the creator of the universe. I'm not talking about Father God, like the Bible talks about, or Mother God, which I know exists because Father God wants a female by his side, his queen, right? Father God has his desires also as a male spirit and needs a female spirit. You better believe it. You better be on the winning side, my friends. Don't transition to the afterlife thinking there isn't a Mother God, because the regret and remorse will be strong. You know, you'll feel bad about not knowing better. I should have known. Why didn't I listen to Blake? There is the Mother God, the beautiful Mother God next to the throne of the Father God. Oh, their lights are so bright. You won't be able to look into their lights. They're so bright. Their glory washes over you like a hurricane force wind, the brilliance of the light. Because in heaven, when we get there, everybody shines with their own individual light. And how do you increase your light here on earth? Because we're born, I've talked about this before, but for the benefit of all those people that are tuning in for the first time, let's say, hypothetically, you're born into this world as a baby. You know, babies have a spirit and a soul in them. And that's another thing about abortion, too. If we knew that a baby is not only a body and a heart, but also a soul and a spirit, abortion would be not so prevalent, shall I say. Did you know that there were 44 million babies aborted in 2023 alone? And there have been more babies aborted in the history of the world than people that have died in wars, every single war that we've had here on Earth. Yes, there's a soul and a spirit in a baby. It comes in at different times during the 9 months of pregnancy. And don't forget also that the man has something to do with creating that baby. So it's not entirely belonging to the woman, because if it wasn't for the man, that egg wouldn't have been fertilized by the sperm. But anyway, so going back to Donna Rebadeau, she drowned in a boating accident, met the creator of the universe, and she was in her spirit and her soul. The soul is the brain of the spirit. Just like the brain you have in your physical body, the soul is the brain of the spirit. And she said, "Oh my God, you are the creator of the universe." She said, it looked like an aurora borealis with shimmering, shining, pulsating, different colors of light. But there was an electrical being there. And she said, she really couldn't say it was one sex or another, both kind of male and female, which is what I've always said, that the universe is both male and female. So she said, "Oh my God, you are the creator of the universe." And she heard back right away telepathically, because in the spirit realm, your mouth doesn't move. It's the communication with the mind. And also you emote, you have emotions at the same time. It's more of it's telepathic, but it's a more holistic kind of telepathy, if you know what I mean. It's got emotions. It's got intent. It's realized immediately. I'm going to take a drink. And so she said, "Oh my God," I don't know why she said this. She said, "You know everything." She heard back right away, "I know everything." So she said, "You are the creator of the universe." She heard back right away, "I am the creator of the universe. You know everything. I know everything." She heard that back. Creator knows what you're going to say before you say it. Omnipotent, omniscient, my friend. It's hard to comprehend just what the creator really is. and has been in existence for billions of years, and has made everything that you look at outside. You go outside, you see the wood of the house that you live in was made from trees and a forest. Cars were made from steel and metal, which was made from minerals and from the earth, and the trees were made in accordance with the second force of the universe. The Supreme Creator commanded the four forces of the universe. The first force was the force that created all the suns, the planets, and the moons. The second force created all the plant and animal life. The third force created all the sentient life, all those ETs that are out there, big ones, small ones, large ones, tall ones, different colored skin, different hair, different eyes, beings of light, all variations, human beings, humanoids, small human beings, tall human beings, 3 feet tall human beings, 9 feet tall human beings, blue-colored skin, tan-colored skin, orange-colored skin, skin like bark, skin like scales, like snake skin. There's reptilians, there's Arcturians, there's Palladians, there are the Verdants, there are the extraterrestrials from the planet Thaouba, which is talked about in the book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Buy that book, my friends. You will find out that it is the most beautiful, wonderful, amazing, revealing book in the history of the world, in my opinion. I'm going to take a drink. So there's so many out there. So the third force created the sentient life. And the fourth force is the force that in each being is a little piece, a spark of the Creator. That little light that's put, it actually is your soul. Or part of the soul, I don't know. Let's just say it is your soul. And it shines with a light. As I was saying before, and I didn't complete that thought. Let's say you're born into this world as a comparison, as an analogy, with a soul that is shining with an intensity. A 100 watt. And how do you do that? You develop yourself spiritually. You evolve your soul so that you can leave this world, go to the afterlife, to heaven, if you will, and spend some time there relaxing and getting acquainted to where you were before you were born. All of a sudden, when you do pass over to the other side, there'll be a remembering right away. And then you'll also probably meet your guides and your angels that have been with you all the while you've been here on Earth. Even when you were a baby, they were with you. And there will be a remembering of them and how they've helped you over your lifetime. And when you get to heaven, oh, it's so beautiful there, my friends. This is like, remember the old Polaroid pictures? You take a picture, you see the negative, and then all of a sudden it would bring into focus, all the different colors would come into existence. And so the black and white is like Earth is right now. When you get to heaven, which is our real home, and our spirits are the reality of who we are, these physical bodies, we cast them aside when we die. We leave them behind, just like an old coat or an old pair of shoes. And it serves a purpose, you know, to get us around this lifetime, but it's not who we really are. We are spirits in the material world, our spirits. Heaven is just like Earth. Earth is made out of spirit matter. All matter is made out of spirit matter, and spirit matter exists in the spirit world. So the sun is the spirit world. Our spirits are made of light energy. Where is the source of light energy in our solar system? Anybody want to take a guess? Take another look at the sun out there. It not only provides heat and light, it's the matrix for our solar system. All the energy that revolves the planets around itself and rotates the planets on their axes comes from the sun. But it's more than that. It is where our spirits and souls are born. We are spirits, and our spirits are made of billions of electrons. And when we get to heaven, you'll see that, hey, wow, this is where I was before I was born. I left that body behind. You're going to see the land beyond the river, my friends. Can you see it? The river of life. And all around, you'll see the trees of life with all the beautiful fruit that you will be able to eat. Yes, we can eat in heaven. We won't have the same bodily functions. We won't have to sleep, although rest is mandatory. There'll be lots of activities. You'll get to meet the Mother and Father God if you are sufficiently developed, if you can withstand their light. There in the throne room, there's a place called the Sea of Glass, where there's dances, there's parties all the time, my friends, angels flying overhead. And what is everyone doing? They're just praising the Mother and Father God, co-creators, and you are a co-creator God in the making. Once you're done with this life, then you'll continue on through that process of reincarnation. Maybe after a while, when you get to heaven and enjoy, reacquaint yourself where you were before you were born, continue developing yourself, get to know all the people there, which you knew before, have a good time, and then get serious about maybe reincarnating on another planet, incarnating on another planet. And there's lots of heavenly computers there, for lack of a better way, of describing them, my friends. It's true. It's true. It's really true. I'm telling you, guaranteed. Heaven is on another level here. It is the ultimate existence for souls and spirits. There are heavenly computers there that will tell you all the options you have available to reincarnate on other planets all around the galaxy and the universe that is commensurate with your soul's development. So they will give you the training and the schooling that you need in your continued evolution of your soul. There might be a planet out there in a stage of evolution that might be comparable to the way things were 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked the earth. Would you be ready for a mission like that, what he had, my friends? Or how about someone like Moses? Would you be ready to lead a group of people out of whatever country that would be? There are planets around the Milky Way galaxy and the universe that are Earth-like. There's hundreds of thousands of them, if not millions of them, my friends, with water and mountains and valleys and trees and animals, other planets just like this. And back to heaven, it is so beautiful there. The colors are more intense. Just imagine, if you will. Like I said, Earth is like a black and white photo. Heaven's like a color photo. And all the mountains there are mountains, because just like you're on Earth, as it is in Earth, so it is in heaven, and vice versa. Valleys, rivers, what kind of like, how would you describe them? Highways where chariots travel, which are driven by angels. Yes, angels exist. It's really true. You'll see angels when you get back to heaven, and you'll remember them. There's all kinds of different angels. You've got archangels. They've got cherubims around the throne room, seraphims, very holy angels, you know, that burn with a very bright light, and archangels and dominions and principles and virtues and regular angels. There's all kinds of angels. And you'll see them. And you'll see all the redeemed people that have lived on planet Earth, who used to walk around just like we are today, walking around, living their daily lives, trying to find their next meal, raising their children, working their jobs, all throughout the centuries, different cultures. There is no one religion in heaven. My friends, there are no multiple religions. There are no multiple religions. There is no one religion. There's only a worship and a praising of the creator of the universe for the miracles of all creation. We worship the Mother and Father God because they are co-creator gods in the Most Highest. And Jesus, who died on the cross, is there. How would you like a throne there? Now, wouldn't that be fun? Just imagine the activity. It would be such a beautiful place. And it's challenging. You still have to, you know, maybe you go to a meeting and you're sitting around a table with 10, 15 people and you get a talk. And you know that feeling, the rapid heartbeat, the dry mouth. Kind of just to use that as an example. The excitement there. There's excitement like that in heaven, but it's multiplied by many numbers, that excitement. And you still have to do things right. You know, people still make mistakes. Angels make mistakes even in heaven because the Mother and Father God are very powerful. No, make no mistake about that. They don't have the same power as the Supreme Creator or the original creator of the universe, who we can't be like. We can be like the Supreme Creator. If you have a knowledge of how to manipulate the cosmic forces within the universe. And how do you do that? With words. Using words makes things happen. So whether you're creating a solar system in a patch of infinite space, or creating spirit children to go to Earth, and there's 7 billion here on planet Earth, right? Every single one is a child of the Mother and Father God. Now, this, I don't want to confuse you, but there are some souls that are older than others, and some that may have been born on another sun throughout the universe. They're known as what Sylvia Brown called mystic travelers. There are older souls that might have maybe 20, 25 past lives under their belts or more. Taking a drink. And one of the things they do is they go back to help the younger souls. It's a pretty common thing to go to planets of a lower evolutionary category, and to go back and help them. And, okay, back to where I was. Let's change the subject back to heaven. So, did you know that there's going to be lots of activities there? Feasts. You and I will still be able to eat there in heaven. You need to come in the bathroom, huh? Okay, I'm just making room for my wife to get by here because we're in the bedroom. I'm in the bedroom. I asked her if she could. She got up and went to two of the other bathroom, but it was already occupied. So anyway, heaven, you've got feasts. Everyone's happy. Everyone's joyful, laughing. There's no negativity. There are no shadows. There's only light in heaven. Does that ring a bell? Why do you think that is? There's no shadows. Because that is the source of light for our solar system. The sun is an amazing creation. When it's first fired up at its nuclear core and starts shining, a new sun being birthed is an incredible thing. And it's happening all the time. Stellar nurseries, you've heard of that before. There are new suns being born as we speak all throughout the universe. And infinite space is constantly expanding, the edges of infinite space. So it's not impossible to imagine that we one day could have our own patch of infinite space when we achieve co-creator God status and have our own solar system planets, pick your planets, whatever planets you want, You want some big gas giants of different colors, like Jupiter. Each planet in our solar system serves a purpose. They just weren't created willy-nilly, you know, for no purpose. They're very beautiful creations. They're hugely tremendous in size. I'm sure you would agree. And remember the Cassini mission? It went to Saturn, one of Saturn's moons called Titan. And that is one of the other planets. Well, a moon is actually like a small planet, but it has an atmosphere of methane. And although it's very cold, it has some similarities to our planet. And then we sent a mission there too. And we sent the Galileo spacecraft to Jupiter and took pictures of Jupiter and its moons, Europa, Io, Ganymede, Callisto. But did you know that there's a race of human beings that live on Ganymede, one of Jupiter's moons? Yeah, check it out on the internet. Type in Ganymede. Are any human beings living on Ganymede? Also, there's a book called I Visited Ganymede by Joseph Abraham. There is a race of human beings that once lived, that race of human beings once lived on a planet between Mars and Jupiter, which is now the asteroid belt. And they were very advanced in their civilization, in their souls development, in their souls evolution. Earth is a category one planet. I would say there are probably like maybe a 4 or 5 out of a scale of 1 to 9. And unfortunately, they were having some overzealous experiments with antimatter, and this is a very powerful substance, as you know, and it got out of control, which I've heard is very possible, because antimatter is really nothing you want to fool around with. I mean, that stuff, if you think nuclear weapons or, you know, the chain reaction that happens when you fire off a nuclear weapon is bad, antimatter is like a million times worse, you know. So they destroyed their planet, and those pieces of the planet are called the asteroid belt right now between Mars and Jupiter. And so they moved their civilization until they got out in time before their planet was completely destroyed, and now live on Ganymede. And there's a little bit of an atmosphere there, but they've built their cities and their communities half above the ground and half below the ground. There's a lot of volcanic activity on that moon, which they've learned to harness to power their cities and their civilization. Isn't that amazing? And they have some spaceships that are capable of light speed, and I think also going interdimensional. And they've made contact with Earth before. They know who the really developed people are here on Earth, the old souls. And they'll fly sometimes overhead in their spacecraft. Sometimes they're in the parallel universe, so they can't be seen, kind of like being cloaked, like the Klingons cloak their spaceships, but different. You know, the parallel universe is overlapping the physical universe, and so you could fly like a few hundred feet above a house, or maybe a little bit higher than that, several hundred feet, several thousand feet above someone's house or a city or country, and be in the parallel universe. And that way you can't be detected if you're an extraterrestrial who doesn't want to be seen, you know. Or, as has happened many times before, they can also fly around in our atmosphere with their anti-gravity, and electromagnetic propulsion systems, which know how to utilize the power in the electromagnetic grid of the Earth's atmosphere. And also, when they get to outer space, then it's different. Then they learn how to surf the fabric of space, because their anti-gravity beams warp the fabric of space. And so they do this multiple times very quickly per second, and they can kind of like surfing a wave. They can traverse millions of miles in 1 second, you know. But even still, millions of miles in 1 second, it would still take you hundreds of thousands of years to get to different places around the galaxy, even at that speed. And our fastest spaceships are like the Voyager and Voyager 2, Voyager 1 and 2, who are now outside the boundaries of our solar system, or maybe a couple billion miles away, and traveling at about 40,000 miles an hour. Alpha Centauri and Proxima Centauri are the closest stars to our solar system. They're like 4 and 6 light years away. And even traveling at 40,000 miles an hour is still going to take like 20,000 years to get there. That's how far away the closest star is. But just imagine maybe 100 light years or 1,000 light years or 1,000,000 light years away, or the center of the universe, which is 15 billion light years away. Suffice it to say, my friends, the universe is an incredibly, incomprehensibly large place. But we are where we're at in our evolution, you know. We're very caught up in competition. And that is one way to grow. And we do that. We send our children to school. And there's competition there. It's healthy competition. They play sports. And that helps them to grow and learn to play in teams and develop leadership skills. But as far as our future is concerned, and the future of the human race, and getting along together, and learning to be friends. Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends with Russia? Ever since they beat us into outer space, you know, that competition, and we beat them to the moon, we've had a rocky relationship with them. One thing I like about Mr. Trump, I like how he made friends with Mr. Putin. And I think that's why he says he could stop the Ukraine war in one day. But my friends, tell me, does this make sense? Why would you want to aggravate Mr. Putin? And now they're thinking about giving Ukraine these missiles to fire deep into Russia. When he has more nuclear weapons than us, do you have a death wish or something? Why don't you want to make friends with everybody around the world? The answer to that, my friends, I know it was a rhetorical question, is because you are probably not an older soul than most people. Well, let me rephrase that. You are a younger soul, and maybe an intermediate or a young soul, a beginning soul. And some things don't make sense to the younger souls. We all strive to make sense and understand things that make sense in the course of our lifetimes. And that continues on in our soul's development. Whatever is logical, whatever is rational, that's what we thrive on, the logic, the rationale. Irritating and aggravating someone and calling them our enemy, like Mr. Biden called Mr. Putin a killer on his first day in office. I heard him say it. Now, how is that going to affect your relationship with them? When we're borderline, I mean, we've got thousands of nuclear weapons. We don't want to destroy ourselves, okay? So let's just be friends. And that competition is what it's all about, really, you know? I can tell you about the competition that's been going on now in the recent past with the debate, for one thing, between Ms. Harris and Mr. Trump. Are you including them in your prayers, my friends? Might as well. It's a good thing. So that you value them as human beings instead of somebody who is an enemy. Love, as I mentioned, is the key. And we ought to work towards cooperation and widen our perspective to include that universe that's out there, and the extraterrestrials that are out there waiting for us to make contact with them and join them in the community of the galaxy and the universe, that will be the next step in our evolution. Not whether Mr. Trump wins the election or Ms. Harris wins the election and where we're going to go from there. Let's take that next big step in our evolution and make contact with extraterrestrials. Taking a drink. Who will share their technology with us. And we'll become star travelers like them. Does that, anybody have that yearning out there? Anybody has that yearning? Do you have that yearning to be an explorer like Columbus? And when Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, most people around the world thought the world was flat. And he proved that it wasn't. And Copernicus proved that we're not the center of the universe. We revolve around our sun, and our sun revolves around the Milky Way galaxy, and our galaxy revolves around the center of the universe. But they thought he was crazy. They put him in house, what do they call that, where they keep people in their houses. And I forget the name of it, but a point is that now we're in the same situation where being locked up in your house, in other words, where we are not knowing, we don't know that there is life out there in the universe, life elsewhere. When the answer to that really is, of course there is life out there. The universe is teeming with life. Einstein knew it. It's just a matter of intellect. If you have the intellect to know and not just believe that there is life out there, logically, it can be achieved. It can be achieved by considering all the life we have here on Earth, all the different insects, beautiful, amazing insects, over a million with eyes and wings, some of them, little metabolisms and reproductive systems, and who have minds of their own and know where they want to go, and 30,000 fish in the seas, oceans, rivers, and lakes. Over 10,000 types of reptiles and 10,000 types of birds and 9,000 types of amphibians and 5,000 types of mammals and all the thousands of types of trees and flowers and apples and oranges, vegetables and fruits. In other words, if all that happened by accident, my friends, logically, it could happen by accident anywhere in the universe. And they're discovering planets all the time and solar systems. We're up to like couple thousand planets that are discovered with the Kepler and James Webb Space Telescope and 300 solar systems. So don't tell me that there's 1 minute. Okay, my friends, I think I've got 1 minute. I'll say goodbye to you. As I mentioned, I won't be talking next Saturday. I mean, live. It might be a rerun. I'll talk to you on the 5th of October, the real Blake. I love you. God does too. God loves every single human being on this earth. I mean it. That's true. Really, really. Take care, and may the creator of the universe bless us and enlighten us. Everyone, all the children here on earth. Goodbye, everybody.